broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No Doubt continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for September the 29th. In the year of our Lord, 2022, this is hour two of two, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, to promote God, family, and country, to use the supreme law of the land, the blueprint for liberty, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. I believe it should be the political religion of our nation. That's the Constitution. I believe it's all designed to point us to Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen, and to literally reduce government authority and power and abuse over the people. Government is a necessary evil as we await and prepare for the Savior Jesus Christ to return. Welcome to the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. Again, a big shout out to and prayers for our brothers and sisters in the path of Hurricane Ian. It's pretty brutal. We also talked last hour to Kristen Chevrier. She wants to educate and empower parents and individuals to make important, informed health decisions. She wants to also educate and assist policymakers in formulating sound health policies, rules, and law. You want to learn more? Yourhealthfreedom.org. Yourhealthfreedom.org. And Kristen has a couple of events coming up next week, October 7th and 8th, ladies and gentlemen. Tickets are now on sale for the 2022 Your Health Freedom Symposium and Gala coming up on the 7th and the 8th. Seating is limited, so use the discount code SAM15, and you get a discount for these incredible events. There's two events, but they're related. But there's just one's Friday night, and then one's all day Saturday. Both incredible events. To learn more, yourhealthfreedom.org. All right, our guest, Patrick Byrne, ladies and gentlemen. He's known for a lot of things, but one of them is he was the CEO of Overstock and the chairman and CEO for quite some time, a couple of decades, if you will. He's also known for standing for the sacred cause of liberty. He wants the truth on elections is kind of one of the biggest focuses for Patrick. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Sam, what an honor to be on with you again. Thank you.
Hey, one of the things I want to highlight, though, too, you are a financial guru by nature as well, and you have really highlighted something very important that I want to bring up right now, because as everybody knows, inflation's out of control, increased taxation's out of control. But you talk a lot about when you were CEO of Overstock and you had court cases and everything else related to this, naked short selling is literally stealing money from the widows, retirees, and other small investors. This is a serious problem as they manipulate the stock market and fleece most of us out of our 401ks, et cetera, Patrick. Do you want to speak to that for a second?
Sure. I've learned that when you use financial terms like naked short selling, people's brains kind of shut down if they're not in finance. So it's really just set aside that term. And you have it, and I'll tell you what's going on. But the net result, here's the way to think of it. Think of the savings and the pensions of America are in a great big aquarium. And somebody figured out, the smart guys on Wall Street, in the banks, in the back offices, basically figured out a way to drive a little spigot into the bottom of that tank. And they can just open it and drain the savings of America out. That's what they've done. It has to do with flaws. I don't want to get into the finance too much, but it turns out to be a way that you can manipulate the market. And so all that the public sees is that their stocks are down, but meanwhile you make billions out the back end. And this has really been for many hedge funds, this turns out to have been a real, really their main practice. It it leaves behind events such as we've seen in the last year, things like this GameStop and a few of these stocks that soar. That's when these people do this kind of manipulation, sometimes it gets away from them and the opposite happens, and a stock will explode like the game. You've heard about some of these stocks that have exploded like GameStop. That's what's going on. But for the most part, these guys win. They crush companies. It's illegal. It's stock manipulation. But everyone's in on it. The big players on Wall Street are in on it. The SEC barely protects people. And so, but it's amazing how after all these years, it's suddenly coming to the forefront of public consciousness, isn't it?
Yes. And I wonder for the average American, though, is there anything we can do to insulate ourselves from this? They literally have computers that do, split fraction second trading and manipulation and this and that. And they short things and they have infinite money. Is there anything we can do?
There is nothing you can do. First, you should not be in Wall Street. You should not be in the stock market trading. You shouldn't be a day trader. If you're a day trader, Warren Buffett has a saying that if you ever show up at a poker table and in 15 minutes you haven't figured out who the pigeon is, it's because you're the pigeon. If you're a day trader going into the market and trying to make money trading, on a daily basis, you're always going to get beat by the big guys, the machines, the algorithms. They have preferential access to information. They see your orders and your order flow. So there's no way to beat it. Now, there is a way to beat it, which is if you do sort of the old-fashioned value investing homework, and where you pick companies you like and you wait for them to be cheap and you buy and you hold. But really, at this point, the stock market, I don't have any recommendation about anything financial other than get very, very safe. And to me, that means physical assets like land, like a home, like gold or silver. Because I think we're at the edge.
Amen to that. Yeah. Do you think that this is going to blow up? I know over and over, whenever we have like a 2008 crisis or whatever we have from time to time, people believe this is the big one and, man, it's just never going to come back from here. Eventually, that'll happen with fiat currency. I agree. But do you think we're seeing that now, or do you think it'll bounce back? What do you kind of expect for the next several years? I know that's a little bit speculative, but.
Well, since you ask, I'll be honest. I think we definitely are going to have a great financial collapse. Great financial crisis. It may make the Great Depression look like a Sunday picnic. People have to think about their safety, which means literally thinking in terms of having 30 days of food in your home, getting $500 or in cash and turning it into silver coins and things like that. So people should think in terms of safety. And I actually think that I don't know where you are in the whole election 2020 thing. I don't want to dwell on it.
Gonna get into that in just a second. There's an incredible article written by William Jasper, ladies and gentlemen, relating to his sit down with Patrick, which we're gonna dig into in just a second. But I just felt the finances are just so critical that I wanted to kind of get your take because you know what? You made a lot of money. You've done very well for yourself. And, you and Warren Buffett and many others, your guidance is very good. It's different for the mainstream, but it's protecting people and their assets and their decisions is why I'm bringing it up, Patrick.
Well, there is a way through this. There's a way through this individually and as a country. And there's absolutely a way through this. I do sometimes wonder, are the people in charge now even trying to find a way through this? Or is the goal just to collapse the whole system and then out of the rubble, they're going to emerge as tyrants? I don't know. Because they don't even seem to be trying sometimes, do they? I mean, they're making such fundamental mistakes. Could they really be doing this bad a job, or is it on purpose, Sam?
It's got to be on purpose because you see it happen over and over and over. And if you study the big bankers throughout history, Andrew Jackson, back in the day, routed them out when he was president of the United States. This is beyond debate that it's on purpose. Patrick?
Yeah, I think that's a fair. I think they basically have looted the country until there's nothing left, and now they're trying to pay the bill by presenting us on a silver platter to a bunch of, either Central European villains, the World Economic Forum, or out to China or something. That's how they're paying the bill. But basically, the elites have drained this country through that trick I was telling you about. Trillions have been drained through that spigot I was describing, through this technique. And the pension funds have figured it out. The savings of America have been drained out, and now they're trying to pay the bill by presenting us on the silver platter and to someone else and collapse us, and out of the rubble, the the reckoning never comes. Something like that.
And if we catch them at it and start prosecuting people, they'll try to take us to civil war and or war internationally even more than they already are. We're on the brink of a nuclear possible right now, and I pray that we remain patient on that, that something doesn't happen. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Patrick Byrne had the chance to sit down with William Jasper. The headline is called 2022 Elections Quite Perilous. Patrick is afraid they're going to try to radically steal this election, create violence and discord. Ladies and gentlemen, I've watched this thing and I'm convinced these elections 2020 certainly put it on the national stage, but these election frauds have been going on for a long time, Patrick.
Two decades. Well, I think election fraud is as old as an American as apple pie, but it's going on at an industrial scale over the last 15 to 20 years. And it's not by any means. This is just Democrats. There's Republicans. It's really a corrupt establishment taking over the country from the people. And there's all over the country, there's Republicans on, and there's all the Democrats. 75% of the Democrats are corrupt, but at least 60% of the Republican hierarchy is corrupt. In places like South Carolina and Nevada, the Republicans are all just as crooked as the Democrats. They're in on it, and they don't want to see the election systems get fair because there's like this elite that has emerged on the back of dirty elections. And our elections are so crooked, you can't believe it. Once you pile into it and start digging, you can't believe it's gotten this bad.
When we get back, I want to talk to Patrick Byrne more about this, because the more we dig in and produce evidence, the more they double down and pretend there's no evidence. There seems to be a psychotic disconnect in the country, ladies and gentlemen, between the government, the media, the courts, and we the people. I pray it gets better, but I predict they're gonna foment this divide that's gonna get worse. Hang tight, Patrick Byrne continues in seconds on Liberty Roundtable Live.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. Call for Civility. Civility.com.
There has been no evidence of widespread voter fraud.
The 2020 elections were one of the most corrupt in history. See the proof for yourself.
We tracked 2,000 mules making multiple ballot drops.
2,000 mules. The shocking new movie from Dinesh D'Souza.
One mule made 53 trips to 20 drop boxes.
2,000 mules. Join the special virtual premiere and Q&A on May 7th. Get your tickets now. Available only at 2,000mules.com. 2,000mules.com. Sponsored by Salem Media Group.
Mom, you don't know anything about me anymore.
Honey, I know you're good at math. You don't like English. I know Ryan smiled at you yesterday at school. I know your favorite color is purple. And I know you don't like mushrooms. And who can blame you? I mean, mushrooms are a fungus, and people generally try to avoid funguses. Or is it fungi? I'm never quite sure. But, you know, either way, I mean, penicillin is good.
Penicillin is a mold.
Huh. Well, I guess you're right. So you like penicillin, but not mushrooms.
No matter what you talk about, love is what they'll hear.
Mom, if we talk, will you be quiet?
Love to.
A thought from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Visit us at Mormon.org.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen, Sam Bushman, Patrick Byrne on your radio. We're talking about election fraud. You know, they want to play games with words and say, yeah, fraud's a really high bar to prove. It's not fraud. But look, folks, whether we're talking about votes outside the law, whether we're talking about election manipulation, whether we're talking about shenanigans here or there or anywhere, the fact is, you know what? We at the CSPOA, the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, I'm the operations manager for that organization. We've been calling for all sheriffs, all 3,000 plus counties to investigate election. You can call it irregularities. You can call it tampering. You can call it fixing. You can call it fraud. You can call it vote fraud, election fraud. I don't care what words you use, folks. The evidence is everywhere. And they literally say, oh, without evidence, Trump makes claims. Without evidence, Mike Lindell makes claims. Without evidence, Patrick Byrne makes claims. Without evidence, Sam Bushman makes claim. And my response is, look, we even documented that the FBI literally got in bed with Mark Zuckerberg, ladies and gentlemen, and literally committed election fraud. Mark put $400 million into elections. Where did that money go? You don't know. But then the FBI literally lied about Trump and the Russian dossier, while at the same time, the FBI blocked stories, literally shut down blackballed stories related to Hunter and Joe. And in that reality, they manipulated the election where they claim Biden won. But Biden still lost, even with all that shenanigans. They had to resort to 2,000 mules tactics and many, many, many others to force their will on the American people. It's not about election. It's about selection. Patrick?
That's correct. The whole system's rigged. The whole system's rigged. It has become super clear. It was clear mathematically, and if it had any sense, back in November 2020, but we've now had 20 months. We've put it all together. I've been working with prosecutors and law enforcement people, and we have the whole story. We know what happened. There's 14 different ways to rig the system. And so much evidence has been found at this point. These people are living in a bubble. I didn't even know. It's weird for me when I meet people who say, but where's the evidence? Because there's such a mountain of evidence at this point. At this point, you know, the developments in June of this year, just 3 months ago, the DHS came out with a report that might as well have been called the Deplorables Were Correct Again report. Because it's a report on these systems where they laid out 9 gaping vulnerabilities where they say these systems, they themselves have now come out and said these systems have huge security vulnerabilities. And based, I don't know if you're familiar with the case of Tina Peters in Colorado. Do you know that woman?
Oh, yeah, of course. We've had her on several times. We're totally caught up and she's spot on and our prayers are with her, sir.
Yeah, well, what the DHS said could happen, her work in Colorado proved did happen. It absolutely is the artifact that they found on the image of the machine that she caused to be taken, which was absolutely her right and, in fact, her duty to do. It's not really in the public, but I'll let you know that same. So they in Grand Junction, Colorado, so they got a hold of an image thanks to an honest government official. They got a hold of an image of the 2020 database, and they discovered there absolutely had been a hidden script that had waken up and done all this crazy stuff and moved 30,000 votes and such. That same script was found. I don't know if this is public yet, but I'll share it. It was found in Maricopa. Do you remember how in Maricopa the people said that they deleted their election database the night before they finally complied with the subpoena? They deleted their election database. That database actually got undeleted, got reversed, and they were able to reconstruct it, and they found the exact same thing there had been done. In addition, now Lindell has they've collected 1,000. There's 3,100 counties in America. 1,000 of them have had the cast vote records from 2020 collected. And that's just citizens using Freedom of Information Act requests. Of those thousands, 600 have been examined, and 570, or 95%, show that they were corrupted. The election was corrupted in 95% of the counties that have been examined in America. There is vote flipping. It's not happening on both sides. There's school board seats that are being changed. There's congressional seats. There's city, you know, council, town council seats. There's someone with a plan to take over America, and they are very selectively choosing people around the country to make win. And I think they've been doing this since about 2006. Somebody's taking over. If it seems like our country has shifted in a way that you wonder, gee, did we really all shift that way? Maybe we did. Maybe someone just got – think of the possibility someone got a hold of how to rig the systems, the election systems, and they are seat by seat have been changing our country. That's absolutely clear now because the election of 2020 made us dig in and discover. And it's, you know, it's beyond any question now. In fact, just a couple of weeks, on September 15th in Williamston, Tennessee, did you cover that case? Do you know about that case yet?
We haven't. Go ahead, sir.
Williamston, Tennessee. Well, there have been a bunch of places that have done hand counts in the last year. There's been a primary. There's been some other election. The answer comes out crazy. They do a hand count. You get a totally different number than what the computer spits out when you feed it the ballots. In Williamson, Tennessee, that happened. They brought in the county brought in the EAC, the federal government. The federal government brought in Dominion. They analyzed it, and they have now stated, they agree, that their system 5.5A had a bug in it. And the bug caused something very horrible to happen. And that was this. Do you have to have 60 seconds or 45 to explain? Do you have 45?
Absolutely, 45 sure. Seconds? Yes.
Yeah, there's such a thing as a provisional ballot. If I go in to vote, and they say, oh, no, Patrick, we already received your vote by your ballot by mail. I say, no, I haven't voted. They give me a ballot they call provisional. I fill it out, and they put it in the system, but the system keeps track. It counts the votes on it, but it doesn't actually add them towards any score. That's a provisional ballot. And then the idea is over a week, they're going to figure out, am I telling the truth or not, and then whether they count it. What they discovered is when you feed a batch of ballots into the machine, there's typically 200 in a batch. If you feed them in and ballot number 123 is a provisional ballot, the machine correctly says, okay, I'm going to look at what this person voted for, but I'm not going to add those towards the total vote totals. And it sets that flag. But then for the last 77 ballots in the batch, it does the same thing. It doesn't count them, which is a total pure glitch. They're saying it's an accident, we think. And that means that 15 to 30% of the ballots go uncounted. And that explains why. That's the most benign explanation of this fact that has emerged in the last few months. Let me give you a quick story. There was a woman in Georgia, Democrat, Michelle Longmeadows. She ran in a congressional primary. She came in third, Democrat, with 24% of the vote. Two other Democrats had 39, 31. She discovered that she didn't get a single vote in many precincts, including her own, which she knew couldn't be true because she and her husband had both voted for her. So she demanded a hand count. She discovered they had taken 3,000 the machines, which had been – they ran the ballots through again and again, and they always spit out one answer. When they did the hand count, she had 60%. She won in a landslide. The machines were completely rigging. Now Dominion has come back, and the EAC has come back, at least regarding Williamson, Tennessee, and said, well, it was a bug in the machine. I'm not sure if it was or not, but it means everything run in 2020 on those machines, we now know for a fact.
But here's the point. Here's the point, Patrick. Even if they say there was a bug in the machine and this is all by accident, this is all mistake, that's why I say call it votes outside the law, call it bugs and machines, call it election fraud, call it whatever you want. The fact is our elections are absolutely dishonest and not accurate. Yep. And honesty is the issue.
They're sloppy. Whether it's intentional or whether it's just really sloppy equipment, there's so much slop in our elections, we have no idea who we really are electing all over the country. We have no idea. There's not a person in this country, I'm sure, really deserves their seat now, given what I've learned over the last year.
All right, now that we have the proof.
It may be slop, it may be deliberate.
Now that we have the proof, regardless of what, now that Americans have been alerted to this big time, and there's quite a few of us, there's literally action in every state to keep an eye on and scrutinize these elections. A lot of changes have been made, some of them to the good. But you say that, hey, it's going to be quite perilous, that they're going to try to radically steal this election in 2022 midterms. Do you think they're going to be able to do it, even with the scrutiny we're putting on them?
Well, I think it's much more difficult. What I'm afraid they're going to do is just try to create violence and then try to pin it on us, and specifically on me. I've actually received word from within the DHS, because there are many people in the DHS checked out, not believing on what they're being told, and they are letting me know that some of the higher-ups in the DHS are trying to set me up. They're already telling people, look, it's going to be – we are afraid this election is going to get disrupted by violence. And when the people ask, is it Russia, is it China or whatever, they say, nope, it's Patrick Byrne and what he's doing. So they are actually already trying to build a case that
it's Patrick Byrne, it's Mike Lindell, it's Greg Phillips and Catherine Engelbrecht. And, hey, there's the few players that are ruining the whole country they want you to believe. Their lies are just legendary. The sad part is with the mainstream press, if they tell that lie enough, people start to dishonestly believe it.
Yep.
Hang tight. We're going to come back with Patrick and talk more. We got to talk about a very interesting topic. I'll just say that. We'll come back and dig in seconds with Patrick Byrne on your radio.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Hurricane Ian weakened to a Category 1 hurricane late Wednesday, but officials say it remains a dangerous storm as high waters begin to recede in some areas. The National Hurricane Center said Ian is heading towards Florida's northeast Atlantic coast and was still capable of catastrophic storm surge winds and flooding. Roughly 2.5 million homes are without power in the state this hour. Republican Governor Ron DeSantis.
FEMA has, as I mentioned, activated individual assistance for those in need of help who qualify. You go to FEMA.gov or you can call 1-800-621-3262. Make sure you take a picture of the water line in your home, because if you can show that, we're able to get assistance to you faster.
The DEA announced it has confiscated more than 36 million lethal doses of the drug fentanyl in multiple states over a five-month period. The drug busts were part of the DEA's One Pill Can Kill initiative. In baseball, Yankees outfielder Aaron Judge hit his 61st home run of the season on Wednesday night, tying the longtime American League record set by Roger Maris in 1961. The leaks from the Nord Stream 1 and 2 pipelines detected Tuesday were the result of a deliberate act. The European Union's foreign policy chief, Joseph Borrell, said in a statement Wednesday. While Borrell did not name a culprit, he added that safety and environmental concerns are of the utmost priority. An election worker in western Michigan has been charged with two felonies after inserting a flash drive into a computer during an election in August. It's reported to have happened in a precinct in Gaines Township in Kent County. James Donald Hochbohr faces 9 years in prison. USA Radio News.
This week on the Green Stock Journal, we're looking at public companies dedicated to environmentally friendly alternative energy sources. Blue Biofuels, trading under the symbol BIOF, has developed and patented a technology that can convert ordinary plant materials such as king grass, sugarcane bagasse, and farm waste into sugars that are used to create ethanol and sustainable aviation fuels. Blue Biofuels does this in a CO2-neutral and environmentally friendly manner. With the Ukraine war leading to grain shortages and record-high corn prices, Blue Biofuels offers an alternative to corn-based ethanol by using plant-based waste. There are limitations in the amount of corn available for fuel, whereas there is sufficient plant-based feedstock suitable for the BIOF process to replace half the fossil fuels used in the U.S. Technologies like Blue Biofuels could be the answer that brings about a biofuels revolution, producing billions of gallons a year, making green energy production finally a reality. Do your research now on BIOF.
For more on this story, visit GreenStockJournal.com. GreenStockJournal.com.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Patrick Byrne with us. There's a big old scandal going on. The chick's name, Maria Butina. And they say she's a Russian spy. They say she's an enemy. She got in trouble. She got arrested. And she had a relationship with Patrick. The FBI is now really attacking Patrick on this. They've been mocking him on this and playing games on this. Here's the funny part. The mainstream press only lets you hear the government story. And as you know, you can't trust the government. They lie. They're dishonest. They've promoted the Russian dossier against the Donald for quite some time. They've been exposed as frauds on that. Well, how about hearing from Patrick's side of the story? Patrick, my Maria.
My Maria. Actually, I don't think the FBI has much to say about me and Maria. I finally came out and told the public in a speech last December in Dallas. Here's the thing nobody's quite really gotten together, or the punchline of it. As funny as this may be to hear, I was the Red Sparrow. I was working for Peter Strzok. And that's what I finally came out and explained last. So I explained last 10 months ago. I've had a weird relationship where I had, absolutely not, a weird relationship with Uncle Sam all my life. I'm not a spy. I'm not an asset. I'm not a confidant. It's more like I'm a professor. I'm a professor and intellectual, if I can say that without sounding pompous, that occasionally they ask me to do things or to work on some problem that doesn't, that they don't really have a normal way to go about it. And it was in that context that I actually was instructed to engage with and eventually seduce Maria Butina. So I had a relationship with Maria Butina. Let me tell you, everything you think you know about the Russian collusion, delusion, is a lie. It all started a year earlier than they're saying. It was a setup from the get-go. They were setting it up since July of 2015, and I was part of it. And if you know about that, so the whole relationship with Maria was conducted under the gaze of the United States government. The United States government knew about her the day she landed. They knew everything she was doing from me. She knew about all these meetings. They had me arrange some of the meetings she had. They wanted her in Washington, D.C., swimming around Republican circles so that the day they needed to, I started thinking, I knew by December 2015, what they were doing was they were building a can. I called it a Cano scandal that they were putting on the shelf. And the day they needed it, they were going to take it off, shake it up, open it, and spray it all over the Republicans. And it wasn't just about Trump. They were setting up Cruz, Rubio, or Trump. Whoever got ahead in that election cycle was going to face a Russian scandal. It was all being set up a year before the election, and I was part of it, and I was working for Peter Strzok. So that's a mouthful, and they hate that I've come out and have said that much. I normally don't have anything to do with the FBI. I helped the FBI investigate Wall Street 14 years ago, and that's why I knew them. I normally don't have anything to do with them. I'm really much more like an academic who writes papers and reads books and gives speeches to the government when they ask me to work on the subject, and that's what I've done. Occasionally, I get some weird requests like this. I engaged with Maria because she was an intellectual, and that did lead to a relationship, and the whole thing was conducted under the nose of the U.S. government. They let it all happen. It was all a setup. I knew by December 2015, which is 7 months before they even acknowledged they knew about Maria. They say they learned about her in July of 2016, and that's what started Operation Crossfire Hurricane. Peter Strzok came out and said that last year. He's lying through his teeth. It all started a year earlier. And they had me maneuver. What it really turned out that I was doing was I was maneuvering her around Washington to smudge up, or at least I didn't do much of the maneuvering. I was in the background. She was living with some Republican guy. I was having an affair with her, but I was keeping track of her and opening doors where necessary. That when they asked me to, they wanted her to smudge up the Republican Party. So when they pulled the pin, they would have a huge scandal on the Republicans. And I know that, and I figured that out by November or December of 2015. That's what they were doing.
Now, when you say they, who's they, Patrick?
James Comey and John Brennan were the names used with me. And I was told I was reporting directly to them. I was told that the people who were dealing with me said, we're leaving meetings with you and getting on video screens and reporting directly to Brennan and Comey. So do you know about the bribery stuff, too?
A little bit. Go ahead.
Yeah, they in the middle of that, they had me drop off her. They said, we got something more important for you to work on. We need you to set up Hillary Clinton in a bribe. And they told me the orders came from James Comey. And I did work several months, and I arranged it. I arranged an $18 million bribe for Hillary Clinton, and then I was told I had to forget it on the grounds that, and when it was finally explained to me, was I had to forget it because they were going to be blackmailing her. They wanted her to be president, and then they were going to be blackmailing her. They were going to own her rather than. And so I can promise that in the depths of our government, at least several years ago, and I don't think it's any better now, there was a hostile force who was absolutely engaged in political espionage. They were setting up a Russian scandal on the Republican Party. And they set up they had me set up an $18 million bribe on Hillary Clinton, which I did, for what turned out to be so they could blackmail her. So there was absolutely an evil cell within our government, a deep state pulling the strings and making this stuff happen. So do you know about the rape and murder?
Go ahead.
Oh, it gets a little heavy. It gets a little heavy.
We can take it.
No, you can't. It just gets too crazy sounding. But it gets too crazy sounding. I figured out what was going on, and I played a little game of my own, which was I figured out I was on, let's call it, the path to the Russian collusion delusion. I knew that by the late 2015, what they were doing. I put a boulder over that path for them to walk down that path any further. They had to walk around that boulder. Do you know what the boulder is?
I don't.
I told them I had drugged Maria Butina and raped her. And I wanted to see what Comey and Brennan would do. When they came back and they were okay with it, I then let them know that I was planning on killing her. I had a plan to kill her. Wanted to see what they would do with it. They had me date her for 5 more months. Now you're asking, why would I do such a thing? Why would I set up a, and by the way, this is all completely, when I walked in 3 years ago to the DOJ and I laid all this out, they looked at me like I was crazy. And then they went and talked to Maria and confirmed the first thing to know is there were two different periods I dated Maria. The second period I was doing it under the very close scrutiny of the FBI. That's the period I did this thing where I told them I had drugged her so I could question her and then had sex with her, which would count as rape. And I self-reported that in kind of an oblique way so the agents wouldn't react, but that they would put it together. And then when that flew, that went down okay with Comey and Brennan, I self-reported that if they needed, I had a plan to kill her. Just give me the word, I'll kill her. They kept me on her for 5 more months. Why I did all of that, and this is the craziest part of all, I was sent to investigate them. In 2006, and there's the Senate Judiciary Committee I've been working with for about a year regarding Wall Street, and they had become concerned. Like I knew in 2005 that 2008 was coming. I knew that crash was coming. I knew what was going on that was going to make it crash. I tried to alert Washington. I discovered how corrupt and inert Washington was at the time. Eventually, I ended up in the hands of the Senate Judiciary Committee, who told me that their mandate was to stop corruption in the U.S., and that they agreed with me that Washington had become very corrupt. And I worked with them for a year, believe it or not, meeting other government officials at their request and reporting back to the Senate Judiciary Committee who was honest, who was dirty, who I thought was part of the problem, et cetera. In late 2006, they asked me, seven senators asked me to come to Washington and met me in a room. And they told me that I was going to spend the rest of my life investigating corruption with inside the federal government. They told me that there had been a world war, that this had not been done since World War II, but there was an American who had a lot of contact with the government was asked. They were concerned about German sympathizers in the U.S. government. And a Wall Street guy had been asked to basically become a German sympathizer and penetrate them. And they told me I was going to do this with my life, and the country needed me to do it, and that there was a deep state operating within the U.S., and I had to penetrate and find it. And they wrote a letter, and there was a letter sitting in a filing cabinet in Washington, D.C., that seven U.S. senators from both sides of the aisle were behind. The letter's on Senate Judiciary Stationery, and the first paragraph says that about their concern about a systemic corruption infiltrating the federal institutions of our nation's government. And the second paragraph says the Senate Judiciary Committee requests that Patrick Byrne be shown extraordinary latitude under the laws of the United States of America in order to investigate the federal government, which is why 10 years later, when I found myself in a room with three federal agents who were explaining to me that we had, in fact, successfully bribed Hillary Clinton and she was just going to be blackmailed as president. And I figured out what they were doing with Maria Butina, setting up this Russian collusion delusion. I gave it a couple. I actually have to wait about 6-7 months till I had the right opportunity. And then I created this sting on them. I put James Comey in the position for them to continue the Russian collusion investigation past October 2016. James Comey or John Brennan or Andy McCabe or one of these names had to sign off I deliberately created the impression that I had drugged, raped, and was planning on murdering Maria. Now, here's the punchline. That whole second time I dated her, never laid a finger on her, which she has all confirmed. I told her, this time, Maria, we're going to do this the old-fashioned romantic way, European style. You're going to, when you visit me, you stay in the guest room. and we'll do this for 6 months. And only then, after 6 months, if you want to be married to me, then we get married. And only then do we sleep together again. And she thought this was so romantic, but accepted it. Meanwhile, I reported up my chain of command. I had drugged her, and then I raped her, and then I was planning to kill her. So when I went in and told this all to the DOJ 3 years ago, the first thing they did was go and interview Maria in her jail cell 3 days. And she said, none of this. Patrick was the most perfect gentleman. I've had her. I've set this up so beautifully. I was flying her around in private jets, helicopters, white tablecloth dinners. Anyone observing would have thought we were having this mad romance. I kept her in the guest room, didn't lay a finger on her. That I knew the whole thing was going to be examined by prosecutors and historians. So she completely corroborated. Sarah Carter also interviewed her in jail. She confirmed none of that. She said, I've never met a gentleman like Patrick Murray. I never thought the guys like this still existed. I was like the most perfect gentleman, like out of an old-fashioned Fred Astaire movie. Yet up my chain of command, that's what I reported to see what Comey and Brennan would do. And they, someone either Strzok, Priestap, McCabe, Comey, or John Brennan, were put in the position in October 2016 that for them to continue their little plan, they had to, someone had the signs off. And because someone had to sign off on a rape and murder of a girl they knew to be innocent. I put them in that position deliberately. No one can figure out.
And that's why you're free today, though, isn't it?
Well, no, I'm not sure. I think I'll be killed or in prison relatively soon, frankly. If we can't, we're slipping into an authoritarian state, and they will. But the reason they didn't prosecute me for the last 3 years is there's this crazy letter, and they found it. They found it. They let me know. At first, they said, no, there's no such thing. There's no such thing as a prophylactic pardon. All these lawyers said there's no such thing. I said, maybe, but go check your files. They called back 3 days later and said, we're terribly embarrassed, I have to tell you, but we checked our files and we found in our from 2006 a letter that says pretty much exactly what you say it says. We've never seen anything like this. Yeah, it hadn't been done since World War II. So I was sent to investigate the federal government by the Senate Judiciary Committee in 2006. And my report back to America is, yes, the federal government is completely corrupt. It's actually not completely corrupt. It's at the top. It's been corrupted. There's a deep state or something that has hijacked it. My report on federal workers turns out to be much more positive than I would have ever expected. We have a terrific workforce, but something very deep and evil has taken over deep, deep within the government.
Do you think it goes back to Hillary? Because it's one thing to say we're going to get her to cop to a bribe, we're going to blackmail her, but then she doesn't get the presidency. And now they say there's going to be a Clinton comeback in 2024, Patrick.
No, Hillary Clinton was bribed. I'll tell you something that's not public, but I'll tell you something on your show. Hillary Clinton was bribed $18 million by the government of Azerbaijan on January 14th, 2016. I've seen the paperwork. I was shown the paperwork in the summer of 2020. They have her. They know she took an $18 million bribe from the government of Azerbaijan. She has a numbered bank account there. They showed it to me. So I'm getting, by telling you this, believe me, there's a bunch of feds somewhere pulling their hair out to hear me saying this on the radio, but I don't care. Fellas, come kill me. If you want me to shut up, you got to come kill me or arrest me, because I'm not going to shut up. The federal government knows that Hillary Clinton on January 14, 2016, took a $18 million bribe from the government of Azerbaijan. They have it. They have the proof, and nothing happened. They showed me the proof.
That means, though, that the Republicans – pretty much are okay with it too, or at least willing to cover it up, right?
Yeah, don't think in terms of Democrat and Republican at this point.
Think in terms of deep state versus us.
Deep state versus the people, or corruption versus the people. It's pure corruption in the deep state. So yeah, they have her. So I don't know what they're waiting for with me. I mean, they've either got to kill me or arrest me, and I've been extremely circumspect in what I've said. This is the first time I've let out the name of the government, but it's unacceptable. And what's happening is, I'll tell you the truth. What's happening is I was providing additional information and to people in the United States government that all got shut that themselves. I mean, really high level people. And I'll come out and tell you, an interagency task force that was investigating a whole bunch of stuff, I was providing information to over the last year. The information got so radioactive about corruption that that interagency task force was disbanded a couple months ago, and the agencies, they tried to reassign them around the country, the agents refused and went into Congress as whistleblowers. So you've heard about at first two, and then six, then 12, 20, now 100 whistleblowers have gone into Congress from across the FBI and the different agencies. The first of those that went in were the guys who were working with me, that I brought so much radioactive information to, they could not believe that someone tried to shut it down from above. And those are the people who've gone into Congress. They've gone in with my information, maybe other information too, but so much radioactive. And so what's really going on now is the agents within the agencies are, and it's really not just the agents against the executives. The executives are on our side. Overwhelmingly, the bulk of the agents are on our side, and a significant fraction of the SES, the Senior Executive Service, or the SIS, are on our side. They think we're right. It's just and the corrupt ones, that's why the people in the DHS who are going for broke now by trying to convince literally the trainers in the DHS are being told and being instructed to tell people, well, if it's Patrick Byrne, if there's violence or anything this coming election, it's Patrick Byrne. They themselves don't believe it and tell me that the people giving them the orders to say that are the ones they think are corrupt. I've been talking for 6 months about a dirty FBI agent named Timothy Tebow. He was the number two in the D.C. field office over all political corruption investigations in America. For 6 months, I've been saying this guy is the corrupt guy. That's why none of these investigations go anywhere. The Hillary, the email, the this, that. It's because they have their own guy overseeing all the corruption investigations. That guy got walked out. Remember 2 or 3 weeks ago, a senior guy got walked out of the FBI on a Friday afternoon? That was Tim Tebow. He got walked out because he was over all political corruption investigations, and they then realized he himself was part of the corrupt ring.
The Tebow was?
Yep. He got walked out. Tim Tebow, his last – Tebow is not the quarterback. It's Tebow as in the French, T-H-I-B-A-U-L-T.
Different people, ladies and gentlemen, is the point, right?
Yeah. He got walked – a senior guy got walked out of the FBI 2 Fridays ago or 3 Fridays ago. That was Tim Tebow. That's the guy I've been talking about for 6 months as the center of – or he's a – I wouldn't say center. He's a functionary in the corrupt system. The corrupt network within the government got their own guy to be overseeing the position where all political corruption investigations reported to him. That's why for 7 or 8 years, nothing ever goes anywhere. I mean, you think that we have Hillary dead to rights. She deletes 30,000 emails, but it just doesn't go anywhere. That's because of Tim Tebow.
All right. So let me ask you this. Does Hillary run in 2024, you think?
What I really think is we're going to be really lucky to make it to 2024. If we make it to 2024, we will be to even if we make it there, we will be an honest country that will have an honest election by then. But if we are, there's no chance she will run in 2024 because she accepted a bribe. And I know that for a fact from the government of Azerbaijan. So I think we either go down and we become some kind of police state, corrupt police state, or a satrapy of some Central European Nazi 2.0 World Economic Forum kind of thing, or a vassal state of China. Or we get ourselves through this, but we've got to get ourselves through this right now in this election.
Where does Trump sit in this whole thing?
Trump?
Yeah.
Well, as you know, I didn't vote for Trump. I came to have much warmer feelings about Trump during his presidency. I've never voted for a Republican. I've never voted for a Democrat. I'm a straight libertarian. But I came to feel warmer about him. And I've come to really understand his great contribution. He woke America up to this. And maybe for us to get back, it's going to take him running. And he can, you know, there's 35% of America that just didn't care until he showed up. And so I think he may save America.
Will we see a Trump versus Hillary for 2024, you think?
I think we'll see Trump versus somebody. I think you may see Trump versus Michelle Obama. Maybe not. Right. They wouldn't run Michelle against her, but I think that they're going for broke, and you won't even. If you'd asked me a year or a year and a half ago, I wouldn't have thought we even were going to make the 2024 election. I'm feeling good about it now, but they are trying to impose a police state on us. And so I worry about where we last that long.
There's no doubt. Patrick, do you think we, the people, can get a handle on this? Do you think we're too far gone and the greatest country on the face of the earth is going to melt down, or do you think we're going to get a handle on it? The American people are pretty resilient. Yeah. And if we turn to God, there's nothing that can stop us. What do you say?
I say we absolutely can get it. There's it's like the Eminem song, One Shot. We are down to one shot. It's in 41 days. And there's something everyone can do. There's something big, and you're going to like this. Sam, do you know about, have you heard about the thing we've started called One More Mission? It's out there in law enforcement. We're advertising it. OneMoreMission.com. Have you heard about this?
I haven't, but we'll have you back and talk more about it on Tuesday. We're going to have you on a video on the Sheriff Maxwell simulcast at Liberty Roundtable Live. Go.
Okay. 10 seconds. We want retired police and first responders and vets to work the precincts. If they will work the precincts this election cycle, we'll trust whatever the outcome is. They've been asking me for a year, how do we sit? What do we do? What do we do? How do we help? This is the way they can help. They don't have to run around in the woods with guns. They just need to work in the if the vets and the retired police and firemen will work it, the country will trust whatever comes out of the process. So that's a nonviolent way we can bring we can resolve all of this.
So when they tell you that Patrick Burns is causing the violence, it's a lie. Give me that website one more time.
OneMoreMission.com. OneMoreMission.com. Absolutely, I'm about
O-N-E?
Peace. O-N-E, like one, you guys have one more mission to save the country. You saved it in Kandahar. You saved it in Fallujah. You got one more mission. Get off your couch and get involved in the precincts, the retired police and fire and vets. So one more mission. We want them to take one more mission.
One more mission, ladies and gentlemen, is a campaign established in 2022, just barely. And the goal? To save America. It's a nonpartisan, non-party affiliated opportunity for patriots of all stripes to continue and support our Constitution. Folks, this is critical. And when they tell you that Patrick Burns is a cause of any violence, they lie.
Peace. Peace, peace, peace. Anyone who's thinking of violence, you're making a mistake. Don't get involved in. Everyone saw what happened with J6. And we know J6 was engineered, but MAGA fell for it. We can't let MAGA fall for anything again.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's the real deal. There's a lot of information out there about Patrick. We consider him a dear friend. We consider him a truth teller. And you know what, folks? With Donald Trump, with Patrick Byrne, with many others, we're getting to the real heart. I've been reporting on this stuff for 25-plus years. I cut my teeth on the Clinton scandals. I used to have interview FBI agents from those days, all the way through till now, folks. And let me tell you, the corruption is at the top. And we have got to find a way to chop that head off the snake. We got to find a way to peacefully restore the republic. There are checks and balances that can make that happen. If enough people engage, we can peacefully accomplish this, Patrick.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if there's any violence, we lose. If there's violence, we lose. And they're going to try to pin it on us, apparently me. So no violence, and if you're not retired police or vet yourself, you know somebody who is, ask them to get involved and volunteer with OneMoreMission.com. It takes 10 seconds. You can go there, look up what state, the town that you're in, and it tells you exactly how to get involved. So we're asking all the vets and retired cops to get involved that we can.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. God save the Republic of the United States of America. Patrick, I'll call you. We'll put you on Brighty on TV and simulcast with Liberty Roundtable Live Tuesday. We'll dig in a whole lot more. We'll promote OneMoreMission.com. And we the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will save our republic. This nation shall endure. If we have anything to say about it, we shall peacefully restore the greatest country on the face of the earth. For Patrick Burns, Sam Bushman, God save the Republic of the United States of America.